Great.
And as you are plugged in, and as you receive joy, and you will spread to others, which will give you more joy, and it will indeed give others joy, and it will give me joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those that are new to this, God edifies his church through worship, through the word, and through just an exhortation. And our brother has shared what God laid on his heart here today, that God wants us to plug into that source of power, which is through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that we would truly receive from you that power, that enrichment that we need day to day. Father, I pray that if there are those here today that have become very weary and weak and they need that new energy, that new strength, oh God, would you be that enrichment in their lives? We believe in God the Father and Christ the Son and in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we ask right now in your precious name, Spirit of God, would you move upon your people? Would you enrich? Would you encourage? Would you once again help us, Father, to move forward, not in our strength, not in our might, but in your power, Lord, I pray. And Father, we thank you that we can continue to worship you here today as we give of our tithes and our offerings as an extension of thanks and praise to you, Lord. I pray that we would give now with a cheerful heart, thanking you for what you have given to us and returning a bit back to you, a portion back to you in a way of saying, God, you're good. We want to be obedient to return to you, but we also want to be thankful for what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The ushers are going to come, and the youth band has a special song for us at this time.
I know a place where we can go to live in troubles. To the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray.
Good morning, church. Oh, come on. Good morning, church. After that worship, I thought you guys would be a little more pumped up. It was really good. Very proud of those youth and young adults there. It was fantastic. Today, well, actually, this whole time of the month of June, every year, we look forward to it. Well, students look forward to it because they get to be done school. Yeah. Some of them are more done school than others. And today we're going to honor our high school graduates. Yeah. Before we get to that really quick, I'm going to introduce to you our second intern for the summer. Yeah, this is Alicia Quadra. Now, you may remember a few months ago, we prayed for her. We prayed for her as she was leaving with the Bible College students and the Omega program to Poland. And we prayed for her and her trip. So she's just going to introduce herself really quick, and I gave her 60 seconds to talk about the last 8 months. Go.
Okay, I'll try to keep that short. So my name's Alicia, for those of you who don't know me. And like he said, I was at Summit Pacific College in Abbotsford in the Omega program. So that's a one-year discipleship program. And so basically what they do is they prepare you throughout the entire year to take you on a missions trip at the very end. But it's way more than that. A lot of people sign up for it just thinking about a missions trip or even just a trip. But there's so much more to it than that, I learned. And so it's a very spiritually challenging course. You get out of it what you put in. And so throughout the year, there was a lot of time spent in team and individually seeking the Lord and in prayer, seeking His will, not just for the trip, but for your year and for your future. And so, yeah, that was my journey with Omega, and it was a very positive experience. I grew so much in my faith, and I grew to understand what Jesus did in a deeper level, to a deeper understanding. And so, yeah, and Poland was an amazing time. My team went to a town called Putusk. It's very small. There wasn't a whole lot to do there, and if you talk to the rest of my teammates, they will agree that it was very different from the other team's experiences because they were in bigger cities or moving around more. We were in one location, and it was a wonderful time. We spent a lot of time with children, mostly. At the very end of our very last week there, we started to grow very tired, very weary, and we had to very much rely on the Lord's strength to keep us going. That became very real. For me especially. The very last week working with children, working in schools, and not having been able to do a whole lot in terms of what we had prepared throughout the year to do in Poland, the schedule turned out to be very different. And so I found myself asking the question, is this worth it? Am I doing enough? Are we doing enough? And I left realizing that Jesus is enough, and Jesus was within us. He was working in us, and we got to do so much work with the community, getting to know the people, getting to know the mayor even, and communicating with these people, growing in relationship with the students that we stayed with in the hostel. That in itself, seeing the smiles on the teachers' faces and the deep gratitude that they had for us coming and taking time to be with their kids told me that, yes, this was worth it. And yes, Jesus was there, and He shined a light through us. He used us to shine that light. There's a deep need in Poland for people to know Jesus and really have a real relationship with Him. And we were able to display that in the short time that we spent in Poland.
Awesome. Thank you. You can just stay here. No, stay here. Bible College has had an effect on you. You've got, you're speaking for the pastor's minute. It's okay. It's good. It's very exciting to hear what has happened this last year with you. And you're going back in the fall.
That is correct.
That's awesome. Not into Omega, but back to Summit.
Well, I will be involved with Omega again.
Okay. Now, she is one of our interns this summer. She's helping out with the youth and with the young adults. And I get to use her right now to help me out, which is great. Okay. You can, yeah. So we have four graduates this year that are connected and are a part of Surrey Pentecostal Assembly. Two of them, unfortunately, couldn't be here. That's okay. We have two that are here. Our graduates this year, Jordan Rana, Wilbur Quadra, Rockford McPherson, and Trina Daze. Could the ones that are here, come on up here, please. So I'm going to ask them two and a half questions. Two and a half questions.
How does that even work?
It'll make sense. First, this is Rockford, this is Trina, just in case. Yeah.
No, I'm Trina.
No. And first, where are you graduating from? How long you been part of the youth group? And what's next?
Well, I'm graduating from Enver Creek Secondary, which is in the Fleetwood area. But before I attended that school, I was homeschooled for three grades, 7, 8, and 9. And it was definitely really hard going to high school because I always thought that I'd get thrown into a locker or someone will spit in my food or anything. But it was nice. It was challenging at times, but I just sailed right through. It was easy. It was nice. But what was the second?
How long have you been part of this
group? I've been attending since January of 2014. I can't remember well, but yeah.
About three years. Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
And what's next?
Well, God called me to a ministry called Love Quest. And basically, what we do is we go to different churches all over the Lower Mainland, BC, and we have really heated worship, and it's amazing seeing God move within like very little groups to the crowds, and yeah, and I plan on attending Summit Pacific Bible College and taking their 2-year music leadership program, and yeah, we'll see where God will take me.
Yeah, that's awesome. For as well as he plays drums, he plays guitar even better. Just saying.
So my name is Trina Daze.
Hi, Trina.
Wait, what was the first? Oh, okay, I've been going to this church since I was a baby. So I was born into it. And the youth.
What school are you graduating from?
I'm graduating from L.A. Matheson. I didn't go to L.A. Matheson all throughout high school. I went to Surrey Christian Secondary beforehand from 8 to 10, and then went to L.A. Matheson from 11 to 12. I've been in the youth group since grade 6, which is odd, I know, because you're not a youth in grade 6, but it just happens. And what was the last?
What's next?
Okay, so I'm taking a year off because I don't know what I'm going to do. I literally have no idea what my future holds right now. So I'm just like, maybe I should take a year off. I feel like that's the best plan for me right now. So I'm taking a year off. And then, like you saw in the video, I was called to go live with my family in Africa for 6 months and see whatever that holds for me. And yeah, that's my future.
Yeah, awesome. So we have gifts to honor you guys.
Okay.
And yeah, you get stuff because we want to send you out with cool things. First, we got cards. Our Dare to Care ministry, the ministry team there, got together and they contacted me. It's like, who are our grads? We want to give them cards. So this is from our Dare to Care ministry. That's for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, the D2C ministry team. Yeah, that's what it's shortened to all the time. We also want to send you guys out with really heavy hardcover Bibles. These are New Living Translation study Bibles, and they have all kinds of maps and notes. So as you're reading along, sometimes there's only like this much scripture and like that much notes. It's really, really, really good. So as you go out into wherever you're going, you get to take the word with you. And not just the word, but an in-depth look at what it means. And so if ever you need to get up and speak, you have something to say. There you go.
Thank you very much.
No problem. And lastly, I'll tell you a story. When I got to Bible college, the first thing I did and I realized is I don't have a towel. So I went to Walmart and I got the biggest, fluffiest towel I could possibly buy. And that was the best thing I could have bought. It was amazing. And the towel lasted me for years. Now, we got you guys towels, but not just a towel. We have here, embroidered, a memory verse. Yeah. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Some of you may know this. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So, you guys get towels. Hopefully you use them every day. Hopefully. And when you do use them, they're really soft. They're really nice. Yeah, you can have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's for you.
Thank you very much.
And as you use this, you can see this and be reminded that you are that you are an example. And that it doesn't matter that you're young. You can still speak truth and be truth wherever you are, wherever that is. So we have cards and Bibles and towels for the other graduates as well. But yeah, we want to pray for you guys. Can you guys reach out a hand? We want to pray for these. So I'm gonna do the in between because that works better. Okay. Let's pray for these young people as they go out. God, you've given us a limited time on this earth. And we have these milestones, these checkpoints in our lives. God, as Trina and Rockford have reached this milestone, and Jordan and Wilbur as well, we pray for them. As these graduates have reached this milestone, and they're exploring what's next in their lives, God, we pray that you would open up the future that you want for them, that you would reveal the way and the footsteps that they should follow. God, that they are with you wherever they go. We thank you for their lives, God. We love you, God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
No problem. No problem.
It's no problem.
Towels are really important. Yeah. You never realize how much you need a good towel. Maybe if you go to a hotel and all they have are like towels like this, and you get out of the shower, you're like, really? Really? No. Towels are super important. Today, being Youth Emphasis Sunday, I wanted to bring you a word that relates to youth and mentoring and growth. The title of my sermon is Passing on the Mantle, and we're going to be looking at Joshua's story. This is Joshua in the Old Testament, but we're not going to be looking at the book of Joshua. We're going to be looking at what happens before that. So the first time in the Bible that we read about Joshua is in Exodus 17. This is the first battle after they leave Egypt, after they go through the Red Sea. This is the battle versus the Amalekites. Now, Moses gives Joshua command of the army during this battle. You might recognize this picture. This is the story whenever, and this is Moses here, whenever Moses had his hands up, the Israelites were winning. When his arms got tired, the Israelites started losing. So he lifted them back up, they started winning. Got tired, they started losing. So his buddies there came and like, hey, we're going to hold up your hands so we win. Now, Moses is there with his arms up. You'd think Joshua would be one of those guys because Joshua's Moses' helper, but he's not. Joshua is actually leading the army against the Amalekites. And he's obviously a leader before becoming Moses' protege. So where did Joshua come from? Joshua would have grown up as a slave in Egypt. He would have grown up under the whips and the oppression of the Egyptians. Joshua would have seen the 10 plagues happen with his own eyes. He would have seen the exodus from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Joshua would have seen water coming from the rock, manna coming from heaven, quail covering the entire camp. Joshua would have seen all these things. Joshua experienced God's power, and not just his power to create water or manna from heaven. Joshua, growing up in Egypt, would have been surrounded by all the Egyptian gods. And all these plagues, if you didn't know this, every single plague of the 10 plagues that hit the Egyptians targeted a specific Egyptian god. It's a very cool study if you want to do that. But that's not for today. Joshua would have seen the power of each of these Egyptian gods been destroyed by Jehovah. And all this has happened before he's even mentioned in the Bible. Now, another interesting thing is Moses had two sons. And normally in that culture, normally even in this culture, in the family business, when you grow up, it stays in the family. Moses had two sons, and yet they were not groomed for leadership. Moses' brother Aaron, him and his sons, they had a generational appointment as the priests. But Joshua, who was not of Moses' family, was chosen and mentored by Moses to be the next leader of God's people. So between that battle with the Amalekites and when the Ten Commandments happened in Mount Sinai, in Exodus 24:13, it was official that Joshua was Moses' assistant. Now, Moses was a fantastic leader, but he wasn't perfect and he knew it. His father-in-law, Jethro, came and hung out with Moses for a while, watched his style of leadership, and gave him some professional advice, some good counsel. Moses was burning himself out, taking care of every single person and every single problem of everything, without delegation. Jethro said, hey, you need to delegate of your own leaders, people that can do all this stuff. Otherwise, you will burn out and you'll be useless to everyone. Joshua would have been there hearing this advice. Joshua would have been there seeing this example of Moses going, yeah, you know what? You're right. I could do this better. I could do this more effectively. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, he took Joshua with him. And Joshua went up part of the way up the mountain and waited. And waited, and waited. For 40 days, Joshua waited halfway up the mountain. And Moses came back down with the Ten Commandments. And do you guys remember the whole golden calf story? You guys nodding? Yeah, some people, yeah. Joshua was still there waiting for Moses partway up the mountain. Why was there so much loyalty? from Joshua to Moses. It's because Moses was pouring into Joshua's life, and Joshua had faith in his mentor. Exodus chapter 33. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp at some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one would speak to a friend. Now, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua deliberately spent time with God. He had a hunger to experience who God was and his power. Wanted to know God's will. See, Joshua knew God's power. He understood how amazing and how powerful he was. After this, Moses was talking to God because the people of Israel, you read in the book of Exodus how the people of Israel did stupid things. God got angry. Moses is like, wait, God, don't destroy them. God's like, okay, cool. People would do another stupid thing. Moses is like, God, don't do it. God's like, okay, for you, I won't do it. So this had just happened again. Right after this, Moses was talking to God, and God was so angry with the people of Israel for their disobedience that God said, you know what? I'm not going to personally lead you to the promised land anymore. I'm going to send an angel instead, because if I hang out with the people of Israel anymore, I'm going to get so annoyed, I'm just going to blow them up. I'm paraphrasing, okay? Moses replied, and these are very powerful words, if you're not going with us, don't send us from here. This is a very profound statement and shows just how much Moses realizes it's not about himself. Because Moses did, through Moses, all these plagues happened. All he had to do is he had a stick, he threw it on the ground, it became a snake. All Moses had to do was hit a rock with a stick and water poured out. If all these awesome things are happening around you, it would be so easy to think, oh, it's all about me. Moses was not there. Moses realized it's not about himself and what he can do. It's what God has done and what God will do. But that's an entire sermon just by itself. So we're just trying to cruise right through the life of Joshua here. Moses is leading millions of people by his hand and his word. The most powerful nation on earth, Egypt, was laid low. And yet he remembers who gave his people those victories. And he doesn't forget who called him from a burning bush. You have to know that Joshua is right there. As Moses' aide, Joshua is always right there, ready to help him, ready to carry out whatever instructions. Joshua knows Moses' reliance on God, that it's not about who's in charge, it's about who the Creator is. Joshua was then chosen as a representative of his tribe. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim, by the way. And Joshua was picked out to be a spy to the promised land. Now, pretty sure that Joshua would have been like a grade A. Oh, from Ephraim, it's going to be absolutely Joshua. Because he was Moses' eyes and ears and a trusted voice. And after they got back from their mission to spy out the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones saying that they could take this. That God is big enough, he's bigger than the boogeyman. No, bigger than the giants that were in the land. They trusted the God that led them out of Egypt, who could lead them out of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth, could lead them into the promised land. God rewarded their trust in that they were the only two of their generation to survive 40 years of wandering. All the naysayers weren't around to take part of the promised land. Now, here's the thing. Keep in mind that Joshua was Moses' assistant for 40 years of wandering around and around and around and around this desert. Would we really be loyal to our leadership if for 40 years we literally went nowhere? I don't know. Sorry, Pastor Wes. Joshua, on the other hand, did. Fast forward a little bit more. Moses knows he's about to die, and God instructs him to commission Joshua. This is Numbers chapter 27, 18 to 23. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Now, the laying on of hands is an outward expression of blessing and acceptance. You saw an example of it right here. We laid hands on our graduates, blessing them. If you remember the story of Jacob and Esau and how the hijacked blessing from Isaac, because Jacob got his hands laid, Isaac laid his hands on Jacob and gave him the blessing. It's a symbol of the authority and power being transferred or given from one to another. And as you see, the entire Israelite nation, I love all these pictures, they're very Sunday school. It's good. The entire nation was there to see publicly that Moses laid his hands on Joshua to transfer this authority, to give him the authority. Now Joshua, this is Deuteronomy 34:9. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Here, right here, is the passing on of the mantle. We have this idea of a mantle. Mantle is kind of like a cloak. And it's an expression in English where it's like the king's robes, the cloak, takes it off of the old king, puts it on the new king. It's this symbol of the authority and power resting on their shoulders. Make sense? Okay. This moment right here is that the moment where the apprentice becomes the master, where Moses is trusting that all he taught Joshua will be with him as he steps up to lead. This is the moment where Moses is like, "I tried to teach you as best I could. Now go." Joshua 1, verses 1 to 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And then Joshua leads the people as the Jordan Sea parts, just like the Red Sea did. into the promised land. Now, as you read through the book of Joshua, you read about the story of Jericho, and there is the entire book is about all these things that Joshua did. And you should read this book. It's a very exciting book. One of the most exciting books in the Old Testament. He faced the same kind of troubles that Moses did. Enemies on every side. People complaining and resisting his leadership. But he was steadfast. He was fully devoted and committed to God. Let's jump to the end of his life. Here's Joshua bringing all the people of Israel together. Just like at the end of Moses' life. Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors you served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites who lived in the land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Here's Joshua at the end of his life making this very bold statement. Black and white. This reminds me of what Moses said. If you don't go with us, we won't go. I think Joshua learned that from Moses. This is the legacy that Moses instilled into Joshua by his words and by his deeds. Joshua was there when the people of Israel learned hard lessons. He was there when God showed his great power. Joshua was there when the people left the slavery of Egypt and when they came into the land promised them by God to their forefathers. And then Joshua 24, 29 to 31. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. As long as Joshua was alive, someone who had seen the power of God, seen the plague strike Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, food given every day from heaven, Joshua knew what was what. And the Israelites followed him. Now, this is a Sunday with a youth emphasis. Bringing a bit more focus on our youth and young adults. This is the next generation of the church. Now, there's a statistic that claims that a vast majority of adult Christians today became a Christian under the age of 20. I want to run a little experiment here. If you are over 20, and I would like you to raise your hand if you accepted Jesus when you were under 20 years of age. Look around. That's a lot of hands. Put your hands down. Thank you. Why do you think it is so crucially important that this body, this church, that Surrey Pentecostal Assembly, invests so much time and resources into our future, the future of this church, the future of the church? Investing means that sometime in the future, our time, our energy, our resources will produce results, will yield fruit. So what's this fruit? These youth and young adults that are up here, that we're up here playing instruments, that we're up commissioning, these are the next leaders, the board members, the pastors of the church. So how do we pass on the mantle today? How do we do that? In our homes and in the church, how do we do it? What kind of legacy are we instilling into this next wave of leaders? How are we pouring life lessons, wise advice, and most importantly, being an example of how God has worked in our lives? Because actions absolutely speak louder than words. How are you living your life so those who look up to us can clearly see the power and glory of God and his plan. Joshua learned from Moses what he did and what he said. Do you have anyone that you're mentoring who is looking at what you're saying, watching what you're doing? Who is learning from your example? At the end of Moses' life, I truly believe that he would have been so proud of Joshua. That the legacy that Moses had, these decades and decades of leadership, would have survived him in Joshua, and how Joshua stood firm and served God. What we do for those we mentor, those we pour into, it will last beyond us, beyond our given reach, and beyond our given time. I pray that the mantle that we pass on to this next generation will be first, primarily, of faithfulness to God. That our children and our youth and our young adults would stand firm and say, God, if you're not going with me, I'm not going. And I know for a fact that every believing parent in this room would be overjoyed if their children would say, you can believe what you want, but if for me and mine, we will serve the Lord. This is the legacy I pray we leave behind. This is our mantle that we must pass on. Let's pray. God, God, help us to be an example, a strong, good, pure example to those who are all watching, to those who we are pouring into, those who trust us, those who look up to us. Let us be worthy of that. Let us always be living and trying our very hardest to follow after your will, because we only have a certain amount of time. We only have a certain amount of time to pour truth and life. God, help us to shine bright. God, we need you. This next generation of the church needs you. Because if we don't show them, how are they going to show the following generation? We need you, God. We can't do this alone. We recognize that you have a plan, that you have the power. We need you, God. Please help us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Let's keep our next generation in prayer, folks, especially during the summer months. And make it a point, if you can, to look for opportunities to invest, to just not just pray, but to share the love of Jesus in some capacity. This is our last Sunday of the month, and on the last Sunday, we always focus on one of our missionaries. And we want to just see a video right now from our missionaries in Kenya, and what's going on there, and what some of the challenges that they are going through right now.
When you go to live in another culture, you always expect some things to be different.
Sometimes there are challenges with driving on the roads, with food, with language, or just dealing with a different culture. And even though we've been here quite a while, we still face unexpected challenges.
One of the things that I struggle with a lot is all the bureaucracy. Whenever you go to a different country and have to deal with the government, it always is a challenge. But here in Kenya, it just seems to take up so much of our time. I go to town thinking it will be 30 minutes, and half the day goes by going from office to office trying to get just one single thing done. Or when you have to argue with the police once again at one of the roadblocks because they ask for a handout before allowing you to continue on your journey. These cases of corruption that we face often are very wearing.
One of the things that I find particularly difficult is being away from family. I've got parents who are getting elderly and it's hard to be away from them at this time. The other thing is that I never expected I would have to send my kids to boarding school. It's a good thing though that the school is not so far away and we do get to see the children more often than some other parents do. So it's difficult for us, but the kids are doing really well and they really enjoy it there.
Transport is one of the big challenges that we face here as well. I think Celia has worn a hole in the floor, putting the brake on as I'm driving because of the dangerous drivers and suddenly you have a donkey on the road. It's also a real challenge to find a good mechanic. I know that's true everywhere, but I don't think we found a single one here in our town who actually knows what they are doing, who doesn't replace good parts with bad, or who doesn't make a decision, oh, something else is actually the problem, and make the situation much worse. Our car has been sitting there for quite a while because an important part has been stolen and we can't find a replacement.
Kenya is a beautiful country and with wonderful people, but when you face a medical emergency, it can sometimes be difficult. Last year, I was diagnosed with cancer and we were trying to decide where we should go to have the treatment. We thought about doing it here in Kenya, but we heard some horror stories from people who'd been through a similar experience. And in the end, we decided to go and have the treatment done in the UK. It's been a tough and lonely experience at times, but when I'm feeling particularly down, I find the best medicine is to go up to the school and spend some time with the children.
It's at times like these when you're facing unexpected challenges that we're so grateful to know that we are not alone. When somebody sends us an email or a text message or we get a letter that says people are praying for us.
It means such a lot to us and we just wanted to say thank you to everybody for all your support and prayers. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I want you to get a couple of things there. First of all, little notes and little cards and stuff. If you, and all of our missionaries, if you feel it on your heart that you would like to send them a card, listen, do it. Because I think that's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Write them a little note, say, hey, I'm praying for you, but then do follow up in prayer. And also realize that some of these areas that they have gone to is a very difficult. So what we do here, we do what we can. We do an offering here, we do a second offering once a month, and just to help out with the work that is there. So we're gonna do that offering in just a second. One quick comment is, we are planning to go to Naivasha in 2018, probably around June of 2018. If you are interested in joining that team, please come talk to myself, and we'll see if we can get you on the list. Let's just pray for the offering, but let's pray for our missionaries as well at this time. Father, I thank you that you have sent out workers in many different corners of the globe, places that many of us will never go, but you have sent them. And Father, by our participation, be it financial, be it through prayer, be it through sending cards or phone calls or whatever, God, we know that our investment doesn't go unnoticed by you, and we thank you for that. So we pray for our missionaries. We pray especially for the mushers today in Jesus' name. I pray that you would sustain them, you would provide for them, you would encourage them. Lord, you see that they need a couple to come alongside and help out in that school. I pray in Jesus' name that you would put it upon someone's heart to go and work there and help them as they continue to run that that organization. Father, as we give now, I pray we would give cheerfully, and that which is given, Lord, I pray it would help the mushers, it would help our other missionaries as well. Lord, it would be done in a way that would honor you, and God, that we would hear good reports because of our investment. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forth, and we're going to hear one more song. We're going to sing one more song together with the youth band. Right after that, we're encouraging you to make your way down to Fleetwood Park, and let's just spend an afternoon of fun there together.
Today. We'll see you all at the park.
to run. Cause I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. But you are a savior, and you take broken.